Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
I'd like to welcome you to our program today. And if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles and the message that I'm going to preach today, it'll be from the book of John, chapter 8. John, chapter 8. And I have a couple of messages that I want to deal with the subject of the liberty of God's grace. The liberty of God's grace. Now, in this passage in John 8, the Lord had been traveling through the land and preaching with his disciples. He'd already confronted the Pharisees quite a bit, and he would confront them even more, the legalist. And he'd been performing miracles, and he had gained a following somewhat, and then there would come more afterward. But a lot of times, the people would follow him for the miracles, for the food, the loaves and the fishes, you remember that, for physical healing. But they didn't believe what he said. They didn't believe the gospel of God's free and sovereign grace in the salvation of sinners by the blood of Christ, the work of Christ, the obedience unto death of Christ, the righteousness of Christ. They didn't believe the gospel, the truth, in other words. And so when a lot of times when people would come and claim to believe on him, now, and one thing you have to understand about the Lord himself, I mean, he is God in human flesh. He had some limitations according to the humanity, the sinless humanity, and it veiled his glory. But he knew their hearts. And so a lot of times when people would come and say, well, we believe in you, we follow you and all of that, he would make some statements that would cause them to think. And here's one of them. Look at John chapter 8 and verse 30. Now, as he was teaching, he was teaching about himself being the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. John dealt with that over in John chapter 1. And when John the Baptist came along, you know, he talked about Christ being the Messiah. He said, I'm not the Messiah. Christ is. Jesus of Nazareth is. He's the light of the world. Light meaning truth that reveals and exposes the darkness. The gospel is a light. The gospel light. Well, he'd been preaching about that. In verse 30 it says, and as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Now the context here will show that what he's talking about here is that many claim to believe in him. It's just like today, there are millions of people who make a claim that they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's okay if the claim that you have, you may claim to believe in him. You may claim to be a Christian. I claim to be a Christian. Understand, I'm not saying that that's necessarily a negative thing. I wish the whole world were Christians. But they're not. But it's common, as you go throughout Scripture, you see many people make that claim, but it's a false claim. Now, what makes it a false claim? Well, if it's a claim that you believe on Jesus or believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but your claim is based upon untruth, a lie, then it's a false claim. For example, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? Now, I know some people who claim to believe in Christ, but they don't believe he is God. They deny his deity. Well, their claim is a false claim. Because who is Jesus Christ? If you believe on Him, then you have to believe He is who He says He is. Who the Bible says He is. The Bible says that Jesus, which is a name that indicates God, our salvation. And then His name, Matthew 1:21, His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And then later on in verse 23, it says His name shall be called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. There were some in the early New Testament days that the Apostle John dealt with, and especially in 1 John chapter 4, who denied His humanity. And the reason they denied His humanity is they felt like that anything human or material or fleshly, like a human body, was inherently sinful, which it is not. Now, human beings are sinful. We all fell in Adam, ruined by the fall. And we are sinful, but that's not the cause of that is not the human body. You see, the reason, in fact, the human body, the sicknesses and the aging and the death process and death itself is the result of our sinful human nature. So this thing about denying, claiming to believe in Jesus, claiming to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but denying His person. He is God in human flesh without sin. That's who He is. He's the second person of the Trinity. So if your claim to believe in Jesus is not supported by that biblical truth of who He is, it's a false claim. And then there are others who deny His substitutionary redemptive work. Now listen to me, to secure the salvation of His people. You know, millions of people claim to believe in Jesus, but many of them say, well, the salvation that God offers is conditioned on man and not on Christ alone. And they claim, well, He died for everybody, and now you seal the deal. The rest is up to you. You make the decision. Well, that's a false claim too. And so the claim has to be backed up by biblical truth. Another reason a claim may be a false claim is because of lack of sincerity, lack of dedication. In other words, it's hypocritical. It's words, and it's not a commitment to Christ and His Word, to following Christ. And, you know, somebody says, well, I made a profession when I was 12, but, you know, I never studied the Bible, never prayed, I don't fight sin, all of these things. They expose that a person is just a hypocrite. And so that's why the Bible tells us to examine ourselves biblically. So He says in verse 30 of John 8, and as He spake these words, many believed on Him, but look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, and they were Jewish people here, if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now there's the liberty of God's grace. Well, Christ is saying here that if your claim of faith in Him is a real, genuine claim, that is, you're a disciple, a follower, a learner. That's what a disciple is, under the discipline of Christ, under the headship of Christ. He's your master. He's your Lord. And if you really are a believer, a disciple indeed, not just a hypocrite, He says, then here's the evidence of that. You'll continue in His word. Now that word if, I've often dealt with that on this program. But this is a golden opportunity to talk about it again because we're talking about the liberty of God's grace. He says, if you continue in My word, verse 31, then are you My disciples indeed. Now there's two ways to look at the word if in Scripture. One way is to look at the word if as a conditional situation, a condition. It'd be like this. Many of you have jobs. And here's the if in a conditional situation. If you do your work, then as a result of you doing your work, you will get the paycheck. That's a conditional if. Many people look at salvation that way. Now, that's not the way to look at salvation. Salvation is by grace. It's a free gift. It's not conditioned on you or me. If it were, it'd be a failure. But one way to look at that is conditional, to look at the word if. Now, you'll find that in the Old Covenant. In the Old Covenant, for example, in 2 Chronicles, I believe it's chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn and repent, you know, that was conditional. And of course, we see in that conditional if, under that conditional Old Covenant, law covenant, that the people failed. All of us would fail under that. Now, what we see there is bondage. Bondage. If salvation, or any part of salvation, is conditioned on me, my doing, my deciding, anything, do you know that's bondage? It's like being put in jail because I will fail. And you would too if you knew yourself. But the other way to look at the if in the Bible is in the context of salvation by God's grace, where it's not a condition you must meet in order to attain or maintain salvation, but where it is an evidence. Now keep that word in mind. An evidence of having been graced by God. And that's what this is. Here in John chapter 8, it's not a condition that you must meet in order to be a disciple indeed. It's an evidence that you exhibit that proves you are a disciple indeed. And there's a vast difference because the conditional if is bondage. The evidential if is liberty, freedom. Look at what he says again. He says, and you shall know the truth, verse 32, and the truth shall make you free. Now, what is that truth? Well, that truth is salvation by the grace of God. Listen, the Bible teaches that we're all sinners. And we cannot cure that problem. That disease of sin, we cannot cure. We're under the bondage of sin. And being under the bondage of sin, we're also under the bondage of the law. Now, the law condemns sinners where sin is charged. In other words, when the law says that person is a sinner, then if that's true, which it is in our case, then the law condemns. So we're under the bondage of the law. But we're also under the bondage of the sinful nature, which keeps us deceived in darkness. You ever been in a dark room that you could not see, pitch black? That's like being in bondage. You're not free to move around without hindrance and without harm. But when somebody turns the light on, then you're free to move where you need to move. So that's the bondage. Well, Christ here is talking about liberty, which comes by God's grace. It's freedom. The truth shall make you free. And that truth is not salvation conditioned on you. It's not salvation conditioned on the works of man. It's not salvation conditioned on the will of man. That truth is salvation totally conditioned on the Lord Jesus Christ Himself as the surety and substitute of His people, Christ who by Himself for His people fulfilled all the conditions that God requires to save them and bring them into glory. Now that's freedom. And those who continue in that word, those who continue in that truth, prove, give evidence that they are disciples indeed. They're true believers. Their claim is real. Their claim is the product of God's power, God's wisdom, and God's grace. They're not trying to establish a righteousness of their own in order to be accepted with God, because that's bondage. And you know why it's bondage? Because you can't do it, and I can't do it. But they rest in Christ as the Lord their righteousness. Listen, I have no righteousness in myself, but I do have a righteousness that answers the demands of what God requires at judgment. And you know what it is? It's the righteousness of my substitute, my surety, my Savior, my Redeemer. It's the righteousness of Christ, charged, accounted, imputed to me by God Himself. That's why Paul, in Romans chapter 4 and verse 6, he makes this statement. Now listen to this. Romans 4 and verse 6, he says, he's quoting David from Psalm 32, where David in Psalm 32 and verse 2 said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." God doesn't charge them with iniquity. And Paul was led by the Holy Spirit to expound upon that by saying this, even as David spoke, he said, "Blessed," this is Romans 4, 6, "blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth righteousness without works," without our works. You see, righteousness is all the work of Christ. And God has charged, accounted, imputed Christ's righteousness, the merits of His obedience unto death, His payment of the sin debt in full to all His people. And you know what that means? It means freedom, liberty. It's the freedom of being justified before God based upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness imputed, accounted, reckoned to my account. My sin debt is paid in full, and I don't owe a debt to God's law and justice. I owe a debt of love, which can never be paid, but that's not a legal bondage debt. That's the liberty of God's grace, and that's the issue. Now, when, as Christ spoke to these Jewish legalists, they answered Him. Look at verse 33 of John chapter 8. It says, "They answered Him, 'We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?'" Now, they didn't understand, and Christ is speaking in the terms of salvation, as I said here. He's speaking in the terms of how a sinner is saved, and what recommends a person to God, what establishes a right relationship with God. And the unbelieving Jews, they had basically three things. I want to emphasize this, because it's so important. Because people today have all kinds of things that they express as being something that they believe will recommend them unto God, and they claim to be Christians. Now some of these didn't even claim to be Christians, but some did. But they answered Him with one of the main points that they would present as recommending them unto God, and that is their physical connection with Abraham. We're Abraham's seed. But the problem with that, as I said, is that no physical generation, no physical heritage, no pedigree physically that a person has can have anything to do with their salvation, their forgiveness, their righteousness. Being one of Abraham's seed physically will do them absolutely no good as far as salvation, as far as a right relationship with God. Now, to think or believe or rest in the fact that you're a physical descendant of Abraham as recommending you unto God, you know what that is? That's bondage. That's a bondage that man, that they were under. The second thing that the unbelieving Jews would present as recommending them unto God was their circumcision, their physical circumcision. Now, the physical circumcision of the males represented the whole family, even the females. That was a representative thing. And they say, well, we're circumcised. We're children of God. That's what they meant by that. We're right with God. But physical circumcision can have absolutely nothing to do with salvation, the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, eternal life, acceptance with God. And to think that it does is bondage. The Apostle Paul, before he was converted, he relished in his circumcision. He boasted in it. And he said, circumcised the eighth day. But when he was converted, here's what he said in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, boast, or have confidence, God forbid that I should glory, save, or accept in the cross of Christ. So that's the freedom of God's grace. That's the liberty. And the other thing, the third thing that the unbelieving Jews relished in was their law keeping. They said, we follow Moses. Well, Christ had told them back in John chapter 5 that Moses will be your judge. In other words, you claim to keep the law, but you don't. The law reaches the heart, friend. And because we're ruined by the fall, our law keeping will not cleanse us from sin. That's why we're ruined by the fall. The only way we can be saved is to be redeemed by the blood and regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Well, he says in verse 34, John 8:34, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Now, there's several things you can glean from this. Why do we sin? Because we're in bondage to sin. You know, I've said this often on this point, there's only two types of people in this world. There is sinners lost in their sins, and there are sinners saved by grace. And here's the reality of it. Now, what I'm going to say may shock you. We just cannot stop sinning. Now, that's the fact of the matter. The Apostle Paul dealt with that in Romans 7, verses 14 through 25. And I know a lot of preachers will tell you, well, he's talking about before he was converted. Now understand what I'm saying here. And don't take me out of context, please. I'm not saying that we cannot stop being immoral people and become moral. People can stop drinking. They can stop taking drugs. They can stop running around doing this, doing that. People can improve their lives on this earth. But you see, the issues of righteousness and sin are much higher than what we think by nature. The Bible tells us that righteousness, now what is righteousness? It's perfect satisfaction to God's law and justice. Righteousness can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. And until we find, by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, under the preaching of the gospel, until we find that righteousness in Christ and in Him alone, His righteousness imputed to me, as my whole salvation, the ground of my salvation, and His righteousness imputed is the ground of my salvation. It's the source of eternal life and spiritual life. It's all in Christ. Until I find and rest in Him, I'm in bondage. Now, when I say this, when I say we can't stop sinning, in essence, here's what I mean. Whatever it is you do that you think is holy or righteous, let me ask you this. Would you set it up alongside of what Christ did in what He did in holiness and righteousness? In other words, you say, well, I just love God. Okay. Do you love God as much as Christ loved God? I hope you'd say no. But if you say yes, you're just fooling yourself. His love was a perfect, unhindered, unchanging love to His Father. And He loved His neighbor as Himself. Do you love like that? Does your love measure up to Him? If it doesn't, it's sin. And that's why we need the blood of Christ for salvation. You say, well, I'm doing my best to keep the law. Well, does your law keeping measure up to His law keeping? If it doesn't, it falls short. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He is the standard of righteousness at the judgment. Acts 17:31, God has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men, in that He hath raised him from the dead. You see, we should try to be as obedient, as moral, as kind, as charitable, and as loving as we can. But all of our efforts to do those things cannot wash away our sins, cannot make us righteous before God. And as long as we think that it can, we're slaves to sin. We're in bondage to sin. That's what Christ means here. He that committeth sin is the servant of sin. But the truth shall make you free, He said. Look at verse 35. He said, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. The slave in bondage, his position in the household of his master, is always conditioned on him doing his duty. And therefore he doesn't abide there forever. But the son, that's Christ, he abides forever. And he says in verse 36, now listen to this, here's the liberty of God's grace. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. To be a disciple indeed is to be free indeed. And to be free indeed is to be made free, not to make yourself free, but to be made free by Christ, the Son of God. And how did He make me free? He made me free by His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.